As we look tonight in Titus chapter 3, while you turn in your place there, the theme of this chapter is the obligation of the church. And we need to find out what we're supposed to be doing and be about our Father's business. There's no doubt about that. I think a lot of folks have confused attendance, being heavily attended with being spirit-filled. And I believe we got that backwards nowadays. As we look down on Titus chapter 3, our key verse will be verse 9 in this chapter. And that verse tells us, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." What kind of questions?
Foolish.
That don't mean that every question is asked is a foolish question. But there are some foolish questions. For instance, let me ask you, what color is a cow? Anybody want to take that?
You want to get more specific?
No, I wasn't being specific. Pacific.
Cow is brown. No, black Angus.
Black Angus cow. See, I just threw that out there, see. So if I came up to you, and you know that Jesus wore leather sandals and not flip-flops, amen, and I asked you what color were Jesus' sandals, well, that would be kind of a foolish question, wouldn't it? Because they'd have to be brown if you wore them any length of time. Because they're made out of?
Cowhide.
And cowhide starts off what color? Tan. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
You could have had black Angus sandals.
We didn't invent them to this year, okay? That black Angus wasn't invented until recently by Hardee's, okay? So... But y'all get what I'm saying. There's some things that people ask they shouldn't ask. But just because somebody asks a foolish question don't mean you need to just jump on them and tear their throat out for doing it. So, what?
Or gives a foolish answer.
Or give a foolish answer back to them. That's another good one right there, yeah. But as we look tonight, as we look in this chapter is a 4.4 grade level, and we're going to read the first three verses tonight. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now, as you look at this tonight, he gives what the church's obligation is in this world. And we want to look at this thing tonight. And because I know deep down in my heart of hearts that you've heard this before, that this would be for you a reminder tonight. So what if I hadn't heard it before? You pretend like you did, and I'll pretend like I didn't hear your thoughts just now, okay? Is that fair enough?
Amen.
By the way, I think people have taken their pastor too far up on the level of brains. I had somebody tell me one time they got mad at me and quit the church. They said that, now this is a true story. I wish it was a joke, but it's not a true story. They said that they went to the hospital with their grandbaby. This is back when TVs were this big, you know. So the TV fell over on his foot, and they took him to the emergency room, and I didn't come out there. And they were very disappointed. I said, "Nobody called me." She said, "I shouldn't have to. You should know." And I thought, wow, I have been accused of everything, but being on ESPN is not one of them, amen. What about that? Crazy stuff. This 21st century pastor has got different every year as it goes by. I thought to myself, I wonder if Paul or John the Baptist ever had them problems out of people. You just didn't show up. Well, Jesus could have.
Yeah.
But this is just in. I'm not Jesus. I'm not all-knowing.
Come on.
And if you go to the hospital, you will have to call me or I may not know.
That's right.
And look, by the way, it being 21st century, just because you put it on Facebook don't mean I saw it.
That's right.
Let me say that. I'm going to get that off my chest tonight before I get started. Not everybody sees everything.
That's right.
And besides, you don't know, I could have been napping right then, couldn't I, brother?
Amen.
And that would have been good, too. Yeah, and you need to call me and let me know. Now, as we look tonight, I want to preach to you, get this, on reminders for disciples. A disciple is one who follows Jesus Christ and follows after him. You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of being born again. And as we follow him, I've got some reminders for us tonight, and I want us to look at them from the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God, and thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight. God, while we're here, Lord, thank you for the fellowship of God's people, and we can kid and go on with each other and share prayer requests one with another and cry on one another's shoulders. And, Lord, do all the things that we need to do in fellowship. But, Lord, thank you for your presence tonight. Where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And I thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. God, thank you for the songs we sung, how precious they were. Our prayer time tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll help us tonight. Help me, God, tonight, Lord, to look into your word as we all gather around this book tonight and look into it. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look tonight at the reminders for disciples, if you look down in verse 1, our first one is we are reminded to be loyal. And we are to be loyal to Christ. He points out in verse number 1 to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Those principalities are rulers. When you got saved, you got a brand new ruler, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be loyal to him. Listen, how would you like it tonight if somebody was sitting around telling jokes about you, and I was present listening to them jokes about you, and you was the tale of every joke, you know. And when I got back, I said, man, you never guess what they said about you. Well, listen, you would feel bad towards me because you'd wonder why I didn't take up for you. Now, when you sit around and hear Jesus jokes, you need to take up for your Lord.
Amen.
And so, listen, I don't want to hear all that. And listen, I just want to say this as a red-blooded American tonight. If it's not okay to make fun of Muhammad, it's not okay to make fun of Jesus.
Amen.
Just for a fact.
Amen.
And listen, if we can't teach prayer in public schools, we can't teach laying on the magic carpet on it either. Amen.
Amen.
And if we can't teach all that, listen, if we can't teach about that, we can't teach the Bible, we can't teach sodomy as a religion either.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we're to be loyal to Christ, we're to be loyal to his person, and the fact that he saved us, he birthed us into the family of God, he suffered, bled, and died for us so we could be saved, he gave his life to you when you got saved, and now you've got his life within you, and now all of a sudden, instead of having to make excuses of why you can't, you got the one that can inside you, and he's doing a work in your life, and we're reminded to be loyal to him. He points out also in this verse, he says to put them in mind, he says this, watch this, to be subject to principalities and powers, and this next one, this will get you, to obey magistrates. You not only be loyal to Christ, you need to be loyal to the cops.
Amen.
Don't be taking no knees and no American flag cause no police.
Right.
I'm going to say this, and I'll go on record for it, listen. I'm sure that there are bad cops somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there are. But when our last president got up on that news platform and kind of encouraged violence towards police, did he forget they're the ones keeping him safe?
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, we need to get rid of guns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell you what. We'll give up our guns. As soon as your Muslim buddies hand over theirs, we'll hand over ours. How's that for a trade?
Come on.
Amen.
But as far as this thing towards police, listen, when they pull you over, don't be sitting there talking about, and they pull you over. You ain't a chihuahua.
Right.
You're supposed to be born again, child of God. Don't be acting like no chihuahua to no cop.
Right.
Listen, the Bible tells us for a fact now. Listen, Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'm about sick to death of hearing about how Junior's being harassed by the police, by the way, because he's not. I found out something about the police when I was 19 years old. You fool around their yard, they come barking after you.
Yep.
You go dealing drugs, they gonna come looking for you.
Yep.
I had my car searched 3 times by a former officer who's been in this building before, and I offered to give him an honorary set of keys to my old duster I had, and I told him this. I said, why did you search me all the time? He said, I knew eventually I'd catch you doing something. Do you know after I got saved, he never pulled me over, not one time? The last time I remember being pulled over, I think, was when Brother Rennie Campbell and I were in the car from Bowling Springs. One of the motorcycle cops pulled me over. He said, why were you driving 45 and a 35? I said, I thought it was 45. He said, it's 35. I said, okay. I mean, I didn't know. I'm going to argue with him. If he said I was doing it, I done it. Because guess what's happening when you get to court? Who's the judge going to believe you or him?
Yeah.
You know why? He's been magistrated to be in that position. That judge is that magistrate that's going to enforce. He's the law enforcement. He's the law thing there, you know, and all that. You ain't going to win. And if your kids keep going out getting in trouble, quit talking about, well, them cops are just after them. No, they're not just after them. They keep doing stupid stuff, and they're trying to get them to quit doing it.
Amen.
Police brutality of the 21st century is unheard of. Do you know there's a lady trying to sue a cop right now in Florida because they had to get her, she was drunk up in the stands, they picked her up and carried her out, and she reached over and smacked a cop, and he smacked a fool back out of her. Man, I said, she said, that's police brutality. No, that's something your mama should have done to you years ago.
Amen.
You need to learn to be loyal and be on the right side of the law instead of being on the wrong side of the law.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't care. Listen, hey, they're not out there. Listen, you might come up with all these stories you saw on TV about corrupt police, but you do remember that is TV, right? You want to watch some real TV? Watch these cop shows. Wonder if we got the real cops on them. Now, how many times have you seen police brutality on there? Not one. How many times have you been seen stupidity on there? Is this your bag of weed? No, amen, man. Amen. Amen. Okay. What about this pipe I got out of your pocket? I ain't never seen that before in my life. Don't know what that is. That's my friends. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 through 19, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good, the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man of conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If you do happen to be treated wrong, God will take care of that.
Yeah.
And listen, we're to obey all the laws except what contradict the word of God. So what I'm saying is if they're trying to get you to quit rioting, and which was really stealing out of stores, that's not demonstrating. You're a thief. Let me call you what you are. You are a thief.
Right.
And if you're out beating up old homeless people out there beside the trash can, no wonder you don't like the cops, because they got guns and sticks. They're going to come beat you up. Amen and amen. I like this, don't you? You better be glad I don't work in Charlotte. If I was late like half you'd all run around here, I'd done ran over a bunch of them, wouldn't you, Brother Steve? I mean, my goodness. You're going to stand out in the middle of I-85. Did your mama not teach you nothing? Well, I'm demonstrating. Really. And just for one last little thing here, I cannot understand for the life of me how grown men that make several million dollars a year are protesting the greatest country in the world and saying that we're doing this because of the police brutality. Honey, this ain't the 60s in the old South.
Right. Yeah.
That's the news media trying to stir you up.
Yep.
Amen. IJS, baby. Yeah. Hey, you better watch that crowd. They're going to get you in trouble. They're going to get you in trouble. Now notice this, we're also be loyal to our church, because he tells us to be loyal to every good work down there in verse 1. To be ready to every good work. That gives me this. I like this part. That's where we're getting, in fact, we try to have our attendance right, our attitude right, and our actions right, because we're trying to do everything for the Lord Jesus. We're not out here trying to say, well, I'm going to speak up on behalf of my people. No, my people ain't my people anymore. I'm his people now, and I'm all his.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't do things for people anymore. I do things for the Lord. Now that I'm saved, I belong to him. It's time to do things for him and be loyal to him. If God put these people in power, God can take care of them. And by the way, God not only saved you, but he came in and dwelt you. Anything wrong done to you is wrong done to him.
Yeah.
So he looks at it on that side of it and tells us, hey, we need to be loyal. It's a reminder for a disciple. And when Paul was preaching this church over here, and he's letting Titus know how to deal with his church, he wanted them to let them know, let them remind them people to be loyal to the things of God. There's so many people today that's loyal to a fault on the wrong things. Be loyal to a fault on the right thing for a change. Amen. Give yourself to Christ and obey Him no matter what happens, and He'll take care of all the details.
That's right.
Now, if you're one of these people that runs around all the time and says, well, I don't understand why. Get in this book and figure out why. God's got it in there. I'll tell you why. Because God says usually why. God already has it outlined, what's happening right now, what happened in the past, and what's happening in the future. And if you read this book, you'll find out God ain't had nothing come to Him by surprise.
Right.
Listen, even with the goings-on of the Clintons, God's not blind to that.
Right.
Will they get away with it here? Probably so, but they won't get away with Him.
That's right.
Our life is but a vapor. There is very little time on this earth. Don't spend it like others spend it. Spend it like God would have you spend it. Now listen to this. Looking at verse 2, we see also we're reminded also not to be just loyal. We're reminded about our language. He says, remind us about our language in verse 2. He says to start off with, to speak evil of no man. I look at that thing and I say, man, I need to wash my mouth. And evil speaking is a reference to somebody either lying outright or slandering somebody without any proof. Dr. Grady said this. I know y'all have heard me quote him saying this. If you hear a rumor that your mother loves you, go check out the references and make sure she said it.
Yep.
Because nowadays, in our where we live at, you need to check all the references on something and make sure something's legitimate before you ever repeat it.
Sure.
If somebody comes along and says something, and they say, well, we know that such and such said this in a book. What page was it on? And for you 21st century Kindleites and iPadites, what location was it on the thing? Because they give that thing out too now. Every time I copy and paste, it shows up, shows where it come from and what location and all this other stuff. I think that's great.
Amen.
And listen, if I tell you something's in the Bible, you better go look it up. I'm subject to have a breakdown at any time. I'm at that age, ain't I? I might go into manopause or something. You never know what I might say. You better check me out by the Bible and make sure I told it right.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't think men go crazy too, honey? We do. We flip out just like y'all can. We're just not as good at it as y'all.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all's side leads to destruction. Our side leads to depression. That's the way we do. I'm just saying. Your husband taught me this. Don't get mad at me. But we also, he says, to speak evil of no man about our language and to be no brawlers. We not only need to watch our mouth, we need to watch our mitts. You ever want to knock somebody's head off? You probably did today, didn't you?
Amen.
Act right when others don't.
Amen.
Act right whenever nobody else will. Listen, unless you're in the third grade, I want to talk to you. Now, I think everybody here, give or take one or two, is above grammar school age. We're no longer on the playground, honey. You can't go out and whoop somebody because they don't like you. Okay? Well, they talked about my mom. I'm going to go out there and beat them up. Please. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to think you're in shape, and you're going to run up on somebody else. You ever notice them fights on YouTube, they last 2 or 3 minutes unless it's adults and it's really short? There's a reason why we don't fight no more. You ever wondered why Muhammad Ali and all them boxers all them years, they'd train 6 months for one fight? Because if you don't, you can't last 30 seconds with them guys. Now listen to me. Watch your mouth and watch your mitts, because just because somebody says something does not mean you have to retaliate to them. $265 was the last figure I heard that was for domestic violence. And that can mean two men fighting in a house somewhere, two women or a man and woman. And for outside brawling, I forgot what the price was. But you don't need to be spending out that kind of money for that. That's stupid. You are not in the third grade anymore. But just in case you are, I understand at the high school now, they got a policy on that. If you fight at the high school, they arrest you now. And I thought, man, that's cool. These loudmouths going to go brag. No, we're going to take you to jail. Well, I'd rather have a paddling. No, your mama said we couldn't give you one. We got to take you to jail. Now, see, that's the backside of that thing. Yeah. We don't paddle here. We just take you to jail. Yeah. Ain't that something? Yeah. So literally, you could have a record by the time you get 18. Because of your big mouth. Watch your language. Watch your language. Not only watch our mouth so we can watch our language and our myth because of our language, we also watch our manners. He says, but in that verse, he says, we're to speak evil to no man in verse 2, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The example of a Christian can go a long way with people, but people with anger issues do not know what manner of spirit they are. I've heard it best said lately that just because it's in your mind don't mean it needs to be coming at your mouth and all that. I want you to hold your place here at Titus 3 and look over at Luke chapter 9 for a second. I hear all this stuff and I want to help you out tonight. As we look tonight, we want to make sure we see this thing. People with anger issues, you do not know what kind of spirit you're of. In Luke chapter 9, verse 54, it says, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned, this is Jesus, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Just because you want God to smite him hip and thigh probably don't mean you should ask him to do that. Because see, here's the sad thing. What if God did? What if he done that for you every time you were mad at another human being? You know how big planet Earth would be? Population of one, you. Because eventually I found out this, no matter how good a person is, no matter how good two human beings get along, eventually they disagree. Did you know that? You know what I heard last night? Now, I don't know if it's true or not because I can't read the stuff, but I heard a man say this last night on TV, so it's got to be true. You know what the symbol for war is in China? In Chinese? Two women standing under the same roof. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it don't have to be two women standing there. There'll be two anything. Man and a woman, two men, it don't matter. Because as long as there's another human being on planet Earth, they're going to disagree about something. That's why God made us this way. We're fearfully and wonderfully made not to be clones of each other. When you see a clone, listen, you can go ahead and discount that when there's a real one out there somewhere. You need to listen to the real one. I look at this thing here about not knowing what manner of spirit you have, and I think, boy, I think about back when I was in my 20s preaching. Boy, I didn't know what manner of spirit I was back then. I was rough on people. You think I'm rough now? You ought to have seen 15, 20 years ago. Miss Willa endured. She's only 27 years old now. Look at her. I mean, think about it. It got rough at times. Back over to Titus. Listen. But I had some good people in my life that kept telling me, just because you can say it, you shouldn't. Amen. I had older saints looking out for me, my wife, and these older preachers would set me down and say, listen, I don't disagree with the thing you said, but there's some of the things you need to back off on because you are wrong about how you're approaching it. And I thought, me? Wrong? I'd kill a 20-year-old, you know that? But you know what happened? God's got grace for people, even preachers. And if God can do that for me, he can do that for you. Because I know I'm more hard-headed than you are. I got to put up with you, see? See, I flipped that thing back around on you. Listen, be gentle, he says. Watch your manners, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, I look at that and I see it plainly for what it says. It didn't say for the men you like or the people you like, it says all of them. The late Dr. Seitler over in Greenville, the preacher over there in Greenville, said this, it does not cost you one dime putting in a phone or one stamp put on a letter to be kind to everybody. And that's a true statement. It's easy to be gentle, people. Now, when you're walking around all the time saying, knock this chip off my shoulder, somebody will eventually show up that will. They'll be bigger, badder, and all that other stuff, and they'll probably be about 2 feet shorter than you, and that'll make you really mad when they whoop you. And you need to watch your manners around people. I see we're reminded to be loyal. I see we're reminded about our language. And then down at verse number 3, we're reminded what God changed in our lives. Just as a matter of point of saying this, here's what you need to do. Here's what God's already done. And it's all centered on one word. He said, for we ourselves also, circulus, were. Were. Now watch this. He says what you were. Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. He says how you were. See, he changed our path. We were chasing and imitating all the foolish things of this world. We were looking to break any and all rules. We were deceived spiritually about the things concerning our salvation. But God stepped right around that and done his work anyway in you. He made you a is into a were. And because he changed that, he changed our path and he changed our plans. He says we were serving divers lusts and pleasures. Before we were saved, we planned on chasing whatever or whomever we lusted after. But God changed your plans. Before we were saved, we planned on pursuing any pleasure we chose. Then God intervened in your life and changed your plans. Boy, ain't God good. Now we pursue a holy God and his will for our life. We want to be where God is and where two or more gathered at the appointed times. We want to be around God's people. We don't want to be around all this other junk and stuff that goes on in the world and all this sin and malice and all this stuff. Why? Because we want God. Amen. He became number one the day you got saved. He still needs to stay in that position because this is what he saved you out of. By the way, all these things down here, you can't quit them by yourself. It takes a holy God out of heaven doing a saving work through Jesus Christ, his blood to forgive the sin and wash you clean, and his Holy Spirit inside you to guide you through the Word of God to keep you out of this mess. Amen. I see he changed our person because he points out in that verse about living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That word malice shows me it's literally a disposition to injure or break something that's not yours for no reason at all. You ever see these dummies come right here with a... Every once in a while you'll see a bunch of mailboxes just broke. Yeah, man, it's cool. We did that. That's not cool.
Right.
That's somebody else's property. You have no business touching it. Yep. You ain't the mailman. And your baseball bat ain't the letter. Hey, didn't your mama teach you to keep your hands to yourself? If not, guess what? All them sins get found out after a while.
Yep.
Hope he didn't knock somebody's mailbox over. It's tougher than you.
Well,
hope they ain't got anger issues. Because guess what'll happen? When you locked up one time, they might be locked up right beside you. Wouldn't you hate to be locked up in that drunk tank up there at the sheriff's office and it be somebody that don't like you already? They ain't going to tell the deputy, don't lock me up with that person. I might jump on them. They're going to be quiet as a church mouse on the way in there. And they're going to get in there and he's going to lock that door and walk out. And by the time they hear him walk in the hall, then it's you and them.
That's all right, man. I'll take...
Yeah, you go right ahead. Like I said, bigger, badder, and probably 2 foot shorter are going to take you out there waiting on you. He changed our person. Instead of having that malice in our lives, we just want to destroy people and destroy things. Now we don't have that no more.
Right.
Why? God did something.
Amen.
And that thing about hateful and hating one another, that hateful treatment of others and hating one another. See, before, all you cared about was you. That's why you hated everybody else. But God moved in, and it says we were. We also were. Thank God for the words in my life.
Amen.
Thank God that I didn't get everything that I wanted back when I was lost. Thank God I hadn't got everything I wanted since I've been saved. But thank God God's getting everything he wants.
Amen.
Here's what he wanted. Look at this. He said, but after that, after God saw you like all that, verse 4, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Don't you underline God our Savior? This is really good here. The love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We didn't work to get it. He said, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He just lets you know who God is and that God is the Savior as well. You've got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all mentioned right there in those verses. And he's the one does all the saving. He's the one that, listen, we can't do no works of righteousness for him in order to get saved, because there is none we can do that will be greater than what you read in verse 5 and verse 6. Amen. Did you catch that thing about being shed abundantly on you? You know what that means? He poured it out there. That's just like taking and saying, well, we're going to give you a little drop. Boop. Boop. No, God said, gave you all of it. Shed it abundantly. So what if some got around me? Maybe get on somebody else. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good? Not if your worst enemy you've been praying for years all of a sudden calls you up and says, I just got saved. I want to say I'm sorry for some things. What if tonight somebody comes forward and says, you know, I really wish that I could have been different, but I wasn't. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? So who can do that? The one that's got that abundantly in his hand up there, Jesus Christ, he can do that. See, all this has to deal with the fact these are reminders for disciples. Are you a disciple tonight? Are you his disciple? You become one of his disciples not by signing up for a class. You become his disciple through his shed blood and trusting on him only for your salvation.
Right.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, tonight while we're here, God, that you'd do a work in our hearts and lives.